Order after?
Yeah, that'd be good.
We can come back? Okay, let's go back on the record. We're back from a short recess. We're at that point in time where the applicant has finished its presentation, and I said we would take testimony from anyone in the audience that wished to present information to the commission. I think we just have one person. Anybody reconsider and want to present? Do we have a couple more? Okay. Looks like maybe four people. We'll start with the gentleman who first indicated. I think that's Mr. Ellsworth. We'll start with you. If you could just tell us who you are, spell your name for us for the record, and then give us the information. But I do need to swear you in as a witness first. Did you hear the admonition I gave earlier in regard to perjury?
Yes.
Being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter being heard? So answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. And give us your name and spell it, please.
Terry Ellsworth, TerryEllsworth.
Thank you. Please proceed.
My name, obviously, is Terry Ellsworth. I am a fish and wildlife biologist for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Ecological Services Office in Bismarck, North Dakota. Our office provided comments on June 18, 2008, to Sequoia Energy Incorporated through their project consultant, Westwood Professional Services, on the Border Winds wind energy project. The United States Congress has directed the Fish and Wildlife Service and other agencies, other federal agencies, to administer a number of environmental laws, regulations, and executive orders to protect the nation's fish and wildlife resources, such as the National Environmental Policy Act, the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, the Golden and Bald Eagle Protection Act, Endangered Species Act, and the National Wildlife Refuge System Improvement Act of 1997. The Fish and Wildlife Service supports the responsible development of renewable, sustainable energy sources, including wind energy. However, wind energy developments may present threats to wildlife and their habitats. In general, the wildlife resources and issues that warrant consideration during project planning include migratory birds and bats, the potential for habitat fragmentation, collision, and electrocutions, federal land interests, wetland, prairie, and woodland habitats, threatened and endangered species, and monitoring research and assessment. The Fish and Wildlife Service routinely provides technical assistance to developers to help avoid, reduce, and mitigate potential impacts to fish and wildlife resources that may be adversely affected by proposed wind development projects. Our recommendations include developing a voluntary avian and bat protection plan in coordination with the Fish and Wildlife Service as a tool that the company can use to identify problem areas through mortality monitoring and reporting, outline means and methods to reduce identified impacts, and provide for follow-up review in an adaptive management approach. From the information in the September 29, 2009 Public Service Commission Notice of Filing and Notice of Hearing, it appears that the proposed Border Winds Energy Project was modified after our office provided comments to the company's consultant in our June 18, 2008 letter. The project that we reviewed at that time, as described in the Westwood Professional Services request for comments, consisted of a 100-megawatt project and with 42 2.4-megawatt turbines in Rolette and Towner counties. The PSC notice states that Sequoia Energy Incorporated filed an application on October 24, 2008 for a certificate of site compatibility to authorize construction of a 150-megawatt project with 66 turbines in Rolette and Towner counties. The notice further states that the project application was revised on September 25, 2009, changing the project to be entirely within Rolette County. None of the proposed changes to the project were coordinated with our office by the company. Therefore, we have not had an adequate opportunity to review the modified project for potential impacts to Fish and Wildlife Trust resources and provide comments and recommendations to help avoid and minimize any potential impacts. On October 30th, 2009, our office received an email with an updated project map and a September 2009 pre-construction avian survey and risk assessment attached. The avian survey included information for a 10-week period from April 3rd to June 2nd, 2009. The conclusions of the survey and risk assessment indicate that the proposed project area has high waterfowl and raptor use compared to other wind farms that have been studied. This study and the results were not coordinated with our office, which would have allowed for our input to assist the project developer to avoid and minimize avian fatalities to the maximum extent practicable through project macro siting or operations. Specific to the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, the Fish and Wildlife Service has developed the following policy. The Migratory Bird Treaty Act prohibits the taking, killing, possession, transportation, and importation of migratory birds, their eggs, parts, and nests, except when specifically authorized by the Department of Interior. While the Act has no provision for unintentional take, the Fish and Wildlife Service realizes that some birds may be killed by wind turbines or power lines, even if all reasonable measures to protect them are used. The Fish and Wildlife Service Office of Law Enforcement carries out its mission to protect migratory birds through investigations and enforcements, as well as by fostering relationships with individuals, companies, and industries that have taken effective steps to minimize their impacts on migratory birds and by encouraging others to enact such programs. It is not possible to absolve individuals, companies, or agencies from liability, even if they implement avian mortality avoidance or similar conservation measures. However, the Office of Law Enforcement focuses its resources on investigating and prosecuting individuals and companies that take migratory birds without regard for their actions or without following recommendations to avoid take. Because the project has been planned without our full involvement, any take of migratory birds, their eggs, or active nests due to construction or operation of this project is considered by the Fish and Wildlife Service as not having met the burden of the policy cited above. Thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony on the Border Winds Energy Project. I would like to submit my testimony to the record.
That you just read?
Yes.
Well, we have it. I mean,
I would like to submit written.
Okay, we can take that as Exhibit 11. Why don't you give it to the court reporter to mark it, please? Okay, Mr. Ellsworth, maybe I miss it, but you're testifying in your official capacity with Fish and Wildlife, correct?
Yes, sir.
And what is your capacity again?
I'm a fish and wildlife biologist with the Ecological Services Field Office.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Morrison, do you have any questions? Well, let me first say he's offered Exhibit 10, which is essentially his testimony that he just gave. Is there any objection? Exhibit 11. Any objection to Exhibit 11, Mr. Morrison?
No objection.
Ms. Bendish?
No, Your Honor.
Exhibit 11 is admitted then. Mr. Morrison, do you have any questions of Mr. Ellsworth?
Just one or two. Mr. Ellsworth, is it correct that you do have a scheduled session in the field tomorrow, either you or somebody else with Fish and Wildlife Service, with the representatives of the project?
Yes, sir.
And so they are continuing to work with you, is that
correct? Yes.
No further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Morrison. Ms. Bendish, do you have any questions, Mr. Ellsworth?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Lean?
I'm wondering if we should ask for a late-filed exhibit from Mr. Ellsworth with any changes that he would make to his letter that was submitted previously for the previous project. Is that something we can ask for?
You mean like after further consultation with Sequoia?
Yeah, if he would like to update the letter that he sent in response to the agency letter that was sent to them in the first place.
Mr. Ellsworth?
Well, we haven't had a chance to review the updated project yet. We just received the information last week, and we're going to do a field review tomorrow to look at the site.
So
we certainly could provide additional comments and information for the record.
I think in light of your testimony, I think Mr. Lean's request or question is well taken. Perhaps we should have a late filed exhibit from the Fish and Wildlife after further review and consultation with Sequoia. Can you do that?
Yes.
And we'll leave that up, I think, to Ms. Bendish and Mr. Morrison to coordinate and file. We'll call that, for the record, late filed exhibit 12. Okay, thank you. Anything further, Mr. Lean?
No, thanks. No, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Lean. Commissioner Clark, please.
Just one. I agree. I think that would be helpful. The commission's in a little bit of an odd spot in that U.S. Fish and Wildlife doesn't, you know, approve or deny or reject a project, but really it's more information for the commission and then ultimately perhaps liability issues for the developer themselves. But nonetheless, given the fact that you haven't had the opportunity to view the updated project, I think we'd find that helpful. So I would agree that we should at least hold it open until we can get that information on the record. My question would be, what would it take for Sequoia to get up to that level of having some, I don't know if protection is the right word, but you indicated towards the end of your testimony that at least now you wouldn't be able to give them, what's the right word, the benefit of the doubt if there was a taking, something like that. What does it take to get up to that level of liability protection?
Well,
understanding that they can't have total protection.
Right. The Office of Law Enforcement looks at it as a discretion of which enforcement actions they pursue. And again, because we understand that there will be mortalities and the Migratory Bird Treaty Act has no provisions, we can't give a permit to allow take. If a company is working with the Fish and Wildlife Service and they're looking at all measures to minimize, first avoid and then minimize any kind of incidental take of migratory birds, that the Office of Law Enforcement looks at that as the company, there's nothing more we could ask them to do except not build your project. And that's not our focus here, is not to stop the project. It's to make sure the project gets developed in the most responsible manner possible to minimize those impacts to migratory birds.
Okay, so the meeting tomorrow, the field work tomorrow, is the first step towards that sort of process.
That's correct. We just really encourage developers to work with the Fish and Wildlife Service and with, in particular, the Ecological Services Office, because we have the responsibility to make sure that these laws are administered and that companies and developers, for one thing, it's an educational thing. We want everyone to be aware of the laws, and if we feel there's a chance that they could be in violation, we want to make sure they know that and to provide technical assistance to them to try to avoid anybody being crosswise with the law. So,
sure. In Sequoia's application, they talk about a proposed buffer from wildlife production areas and wildlife rest areas of a quarter mile. Is that a typical type of setback for developments like this, or is there anything that can be considered typical?
Well, from the Fish and Wildlife Service standpoint, the setback from waterfowl production areas, we only have, those are fee title lands that the service owns, and our jurisdiction goes to the boundary. If a company wanted to build one 100 feet away, I don't know that we could stop them. The quarter mile setback is probably reasonable because these areas are set aside for waterfowl production. The chances are there are a lot of birds there. The study that was provided to us indicates there are a lot of waterfowl on this area because of the amount of wetlands in the area. So probably setbacks from wetlands and from WPAs is a reasonable thing. it's not something that the service would require.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Clark. Commissioner Kramer, please.
I have nothing for this witness except my appreciation.
Thank you, Commissioner Kramer. Commissioner Kalk?
Just a short one. Thanks for testifying too, Terry. And just, you know, background, when becomes a limiting factor where you can get out and do some of the work you have to do for the field work? I mean, obviously it's November and we're blessed. There's not 2 feet of snow on the ground, but I mean, there's got to be some break point. Is it when the snow falls in the ground, you can't do much more out there? How do you assess what you can actually do to follow up on what you're going to need to survey?
Well, the survey work, we ask companies to look at the information they gather on avian resources, bats, any kind of wildlife resources that are out there, wetlands, to use that information in siting their wind farm. So we encourage wind company developers, before they ever get easements, to look at those resources on the ground and try to site their projects so that they've avoided those impacts to the greatest extent possible. Once the project's selected, it's much harder to avoid those impacts. Then you're just kind of minimizing any potential impacts by avoiding wetlands and those types of issues. In order for the survey work to be a useful tool, it would need to be much longer term. This was a 10-week survey, and it provides a snapshot of what's out there during that 10-week window. In many cases, you could get that from looking at breeding bird surveys. The information to go out on the ground is not necessary really to gather that type of information. What would be useful would be a couple of years before the project to see what's there. The project gets built, and then 2 or 3 years of survey afterwards to see if are those birds that were there prior to the project now no longer using it, or are they still using it? That would be useful information for siting future projects, for one thing. It also would confirm some of the potential impact assessments that are done. To say these species are out there and there's this many at this one period of time is not, unless it's used to adjust your project and you say, well, there's too much impact on this site, so we're going to look at this site. That's kind of been our focus is looking at more either a long-term study that can show some trends, or to use those snapshots as you look at 3 or 4 different sites and then try to pick one that has the least impact.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Kalk. Any further questions, Mr. Ellsworth? No further questions? Thank you, Mr. Ellsworth.
Thank you.
All right, I think we had a few more people that, you sir, come on up. Your name, sir, for the record?
Scott Mitchell, Mayor of Rolla, Mitchell.
Thank you. And did you hear the admonition I gave earlier?
Yes, I did.
Being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter being heard of? So answer, I do.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Please proceed.
I just want to stress the importance of this project to the county of Rolette. Rolette County, if you look at any state surveys, is a low-income county. Projects such as this have the potential to benefit all the communities in the county, and I think you'll find the vast majority of the residents of this county in favor of this project.
Thank you. Any questions of Mr. Mitchell, Mr. Morrison? Ms. Bendish? Commissioners, any questions?
Just thank you. I got one question for you.
Okay.
Mayor, I didn't need to clear the record up. Earlier in my comments, I talked about Rawl playing in the football game, and you corrected me during the break. Could you just let the record show what's playing?
North Prairie is playing Langdon in the playoffs. North Prairie is a football co-op made up of the communities of Rock Lake, Rolla, Rolette, and Wolford.
That's all I have.
The North Prairie Cougars. They are the Cougars.
Well, for Pete's sake. Thank you, Mayor.
And all the communities have always had successful football programs, and combined they are very good. So thank you.
Thank you very much. And we had, I think, a couple more. Yes, sir.
My name is Bob Leonard, L-E-O-N-A-R-D, Rolette County Commissioner.
And did you hear the admonition I gave earlier? I need to swear you in. This is part of the formality. Being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter being heard? If so, answer, I do.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Okay. Mr. Mayor Mitchell just took a lot of the words out of my mouth, what I was going to say. The economic impact of this county with this project is going to be, we're really looking forward to it. And Sequoia has been really upfront with us as far as the county, keeping us informed, and we really appreciate that. And like you say, we are looking forward to this project, and I guess that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Leonard. Mr. Morrison, anything?
Nothing.
Ms. Bendish?
No, Your Honor.
Thank you. Commissioners?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
And I think we had one more person.
Valerie McLeod, MCCLOUD, and I...
I need to swear you in first.
Sure.
Did you hear the admonition I gave earlier
in
regard to perjury? Being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter being heard? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. Please proceed.
I'm the Rolette County Auditor. We have been working on this project for about 5 years. I was one of the initial ones along with George and a lot of other people in the county, city and county, that was very interested in a possibility of a wind project in the county. I see this as a very beneficial thing for our county, not only the economic impact for the jobs and whatnot, the landowners, also for the county, for the tax dollars that will come in. It would increase our taxable valuation a sizable amount, and that is a very much financial benefit for the county, so we definitely look forward to it.
Thank you. Mr. Morrison, any questions?
No questions.
Ms. Bendish?
No, Your Honor.
Commissioners?
You know, I...
Commissioner Kramer, please.
I might, Your Honor. Auditor McLeod, just you referenced tax valuations.
Yes.
There's a lot of talk, has been a lot of talk, a lot of debate, a lot of discussion, a lot of decisions, and some uncertainty about the value of state... sort of support for property tax relief. How significant is this in terms of property tax relief for your county?
For this project?
Yes.
When we had done estimates about a year ago, we estimated, and I don't know if it's still, you know, there's variables that get included. The value or the cost of the tower is one, the size of the tower, all of that stuff comes into play, but we had kind of estimated about $1.5 million as far as the turbines, an increase in taxable valuation. And when our taxable valuation is only $10 million to start with, I think that's a sizable amount. So, positive.
I have nothing further. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further? Wait a second, just a second. Did we get all the questions? I wasn't sure. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I'm sorry. All right, anyone else that wishes to testify? Yes, sir.
Alex Albert, Job Service, North Dakota.
A-L-B-E-R-T?
Correct.
Did you hear the admonition I gave earlier in regard to perjury?
I did.
Being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter being heard? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Hi. Just want to echo everyone else's comments. As a job service manager here in Rolla, I can tell you that Rolette County is one of the counties in the state of North Dakota that has extremely high unemployment rate. The most recent figure that my organization publishes is the September 2009 unemployment rate for Rolette County is set at 9.7%. That is three times the state average, which is around 3.2% currently. To the west of the county and the central part of the county in Belcourt, North Dakota, is a Turtle Mountain Indian Reservation. As you all know, the unemployment rate, as stated by the Bureau of Indian Affairs there, is 66.4%. Needless to say, the impact of the jobs of this project would positively impact the economic posture of this community and the communities around within the county. And I just wanted to reiterate how important a project of this magnitude is to all of us here.
Thank you, Mr. Albert. Mr. Morrison, any questions, Mr. Albert? Ms. Bendish?
No, Your Honor.
Commissioners? Commissioner Kramer, please.
Yeah, thank you. You heard me ask earlier of Mr. Witherspoon about the use of local labor and contractors and whatnot. He talked a little bit about the, you know, obviously the qualifications, skill sets, things like that. Has Job Service or have you done any sort of an analysis of what opportunities there might be, at least through the construction phase, for the skill sets that would match the, you know, especially that 9.7%?
Yeah, the the skill sets are done by my agent on occasion, and the Turtle Mountain Reservation and the Rowlett County as a whole have been surveyed through the assistance of the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the Turtle Mountain Tribe. What I can tell you is that the construction nature, the skills in the construction area in Rowlett County is phenomenal. We have a large surplus of seasoned professionals in the construction trades, specifically welding, specifically heavy equipment, both road construction as well as building construction. This is the area that I feel will really add to the labor force in this particular project. Rowlett County is one of only four counties in the state of North Dakota that's a labor surplus area designated by the Department of Labor. So this is really a good sign for a company to come in and get some local labor that will stay with them. We're going to be a little short with the technicians. However, there's Lake Region College has a course, and I know yes. that the Iberdrola project out in Rugby is also training and working with them to train their people. So I've been involved in that project as well.
So what project was that in Rugby?
It's called Iberdrola. They're the owners of the windmill project in Rugby.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Kramer?
Nothing further. Thank you. It's very interesting.
Any further questions of Mr. Albert? No. Thank you, Mr. Albert. And one more?
One more, please.
Good afternoon. George Youngerman, Youngerman.
And did you hear the admonition I gave earlier in regard to perjury?
I did.
Being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter being heard? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you. This has been a project of mine that we initiated. We first went operational with our metering tower back in August of 2003. It was at a point in time that Mr. Witherspoon and I made contact about a year or so later, and I will I'm greatly pleased with the quality of the people of Sequoia Energy. They have been very responsive, responsible, and considerate of everything that we have done up to this point, and nothing but pleased with the project's progress. One of the things that we have cited before the economic benefit, and one of the things that we have a lot of issues with is our geographical location and the opportunity for economic growth in our area. And so we're very excited about this project, but not only what it can do for Rowlett County, but for all the communities in the county and the overflow that it might have into the neighboring counties as well. Sequoia Energy has requested that I provide, and I'm in the process of building an informational file to use as many local contractors, suppliers of product and or services. And I'm in the process of doing that now, and I have individuals from the immediate area who I will be making available to Sequoia Energy for possible contracting with. And so with that, we're very pleased to have you here today. We're very pleased that we got to this point after 6 years, bless. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Youngerman. Are you speaking in your individual capacity or representing? Or?
In my capacity as the director of the Job Development, the Rowlett Job Development Authority. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Morrison, any questions of
no
Mr.
Questions.
Youngerman? Ms. Bendish?
No, Your Honor.
Thank you. Commissioners, any questions of Mr. Youngerman?
Thank you.
I would have one question.
Commissioner Kalb, please.
Just when you talk about Director of Job Development, you know, when we're trying to, the state, I used to work at the university system too, but the state's trying to meet the universities to put out, you know, the skill set that we need throughout the state. Just what kind of interface do you have with the Lake Regions and the Bottineaus and the Minot States about the training opportunities back and forth for education?
Interesting question, because early on I worked with Dr. Sharon Edamod, who was president of Lake Region State College a number of years ago, and it was through those discussions and subsequent follow-on by Vice President Doug Darling that they were successful in getting the program that they have now for Lake Region College. And so extensive involvement with that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Kalk. Any further questions of Mr. Youngerman?
No, just thank you for doing it, George, and for taking it upon yourselves to provide the information that was valuable to the company that ultimately made an investment, because that proactivity obviously has paid off and it will pay off. So way to go. And then also thank you for your hospitality. And if I have one more cup of that strong coffee, my legs are going to get very weak.
I hope it lasts you well to Williston.
It should get me there. Thank you,
Commissioner Kramer. Thank you, Mr. Youngerman.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Todd Mears, M-E-A-R-S.
Mr. Mears, did you hear the admonition I gave earlier in regard to perjury?
Yes.
Being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter being heard? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. Please proceed.
I'm a member of the local job development authority, as well as a city council member and a business owner in town. So you choose which one I'm going to speak on capacity of. I think it kind of entails all three. I remember back in 2003 when we decided to put up the wind metering tower. As you are probably aware, the difficulties that small towns in rural America have in recruiting businesses, getting young families to move back in order to have a striving, thriving community, it's important for us to see this finally come to this point in 6 years. It's hard to control the enthusiasm and excitement that we do have. Again, I'll speak on behalf of myself, not my constituents on my boards, but it's a very exciting time. And one other thing I'd like to echo is what George said about Sequoia Energy. The job development, we've been involved with this from step one. A lot of our meetings may have been in the preliminary and introductory standpoints of that, and as it got more detailed, you know, it phased us out, so to speak, with the exception of some updates. My impression of Sequoia Energy has been they've always been personable, they've always been honest, upfront. They never tell you what you want to hear. They don't make false promises, in my opinion. And I say that because so often you hear these stories of horror stories, so to speak, of larger companies coming in and only worrying about what's best for them and what's going to make them a dollar. They've really been conscious, I think, of the project, the community, the landowners, and that's been their biggest concern to this point, and I have no doubt that's how it will be going forward through the project. I do see them as a huge asset moving into the community for the well foreseen future. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mears. Mr. Morrison, any questions?
No questions.
Ms. Bendish?
No, Your Honor.
Commissioners?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mears. Anyone else? I want to thank the audience members for their participation. At this time, I'm going to ask Mr. Morrison if he has anything further to present to the commission, rebuttal or otherwise.
No further case. We would like to make a short statement, but no.
All right. I just remind you that what do we have? We have the late filed Exhibit 9 regarding the shadow flicker, and then we have the late filed Exhibit 12 that you'll be coordinating. Well, you'll be coordinating both of them with Ms. Bendish, with Fish and Wildlife also on Exhibit 12. All right. Please. This is the opening statement, the closing statement Mr. Morrison has given in regard to his application.
And I'll be very brief. We appreciate the commission's hospitality today and the opportunity to be here and appear before you. We appreciate staff's time also. We're also very aware and greatly appreciative of the support we get from the local community here. It means a lot to the company and has enabled them to proceed with this project. I think the record is pretty clear that this is a good, clean project that has very few problems. We understand the concerns of Fish and Wildlife Service, and we are committed to working with Fish and Wildlife Service and address those problems and hopefully either eliminate them or at least satisfy them or minimize them. We'll also provide the flicker survey that the staff and commissioners have requested. With that, we think the record is clear that this project will have minimal adverse effects on the environment and that it is compatible with environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources and should be approved. And if there's any questions, we try to answer them again. And otherwise, thank you again.
Thank you, Mr. Morrison. Any questions from the commissioners in regard to closing statements? All right. Then we talked a little bit about this at the break, at the recess, that the Sequoia will be filing proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law. We left the date somewhat open to coordinate with the late filed exhibits. So with that, we're going to close the hearing with comments from the commissioners, closing comments from the commissioners, starting with Commissioner Clark, please.
Well, just thank you for your attendance here today. I think back, you know, when we scheduled this a few months ago, we knew that it'd be 50 degrees and sunny the first week in November in North Dakota. I can say that to Sequoia because they're from Winnipeg, and they know I'm lying when I say we've got a few wind developers in the state that are from Florida, and so they might not know the joke there. I especially want to thank all of those who testified here today, and for the strong turnout from the community and the strong words of support from community leaders who spoke to us. But generally speaking, in North Dakota, people are very favorable towards wind development, and that's certainly what we've seen here today. And so we like getting that kind of information on the record, because while generally our hearings are very much like this, every now and then there are folks who do have things that they want to bring to the commission's attention. When they may not be as favorable towards wind development for one reason or another, and we always want to hear those sorts of words too. But when we have a hearing like this where there's clearly pretty strong support within the community, that is helpful to us in our decision-making process. So I thank you for the testimony. Thank the applicant for putting together a good record that the commission will have to act on. And of course, as always, thank you for the hospitality. All the talk about ducks and wetlands had me daydreaming here a little bit, that in thinking that, well, I always enjoy coming to this part of the state. The next time I'm here, I'm hoping it's in hip waders and camouflage.
Thank you, Commissioner Clark. Commissioner Kramer, please.
The next time I come up here, it'll probably be for a wedding or a funeral, Commissioner. But let me, too, say thank you for the incredible turnout today by the public. Thank you, certainly, to the company for a very good and thorough record. We appreciate that, and I'm completely confident that the issues with the Fish and Wildlife Service will be worked out to, hopefully, to everyone's satisfaction. But, you know, as I sat here, and especially listening to Mr. Elbert, I think about the fact that we live in a country that has nearly 10% unemployment. We sit in a tower in Bismarck kind of with the belief that all's well in North Dakota. And so when we're told about an unemployment rate of nearly 10% in one of our own communities, one of our own counties, George, it's kind of special to think that we get to be part of a solution. And, you know, in North Dakota, we've always had what America wants, haven't we? We're very used to exporting food to hungry people in the country and in the world and creating some economic opportunity for ourselves. My wife oftentimes accuses me of being overly sentimental and too nostalgic, and sometimes perhaps I am. But I try to look forward as well. And so we see this opportunity while we protect our environment and our cultural resources appropriately and look out for people. We also see economic opportunity. So it's exciting to be part of this now, this new generation of energy development and economic opportunity, and have yet another resource that is marketable outside of our borders. And one thing I was reminded of today is I'm reminded that people in Rolla get along well with Canadians. I'd forgotten. So thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Commissioner Kramer. Commissioner Kalk, please.
Tough act to follow, but just thank you so much for taking the time to put this together. And as Kevin said, you know, North Dakota, we're the only state that had job growth this last quarter. We've got money in the bank, and it's because of people like you that are willing to work hard to get projects off the ground and to make things happen. So thank you so much for what you do. And I'll be back up here at noon on Friday for opening deer. So if you see somebody west of here, stop by and say hello.
Thank you, Commissioner Cock. All right. Thank you all for your participation. We're going to close the record now. It's approximately 12:55. The hearing is closed.